From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies in Paul's Epistle to the Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled Home Blessings. The text is Proverbs chapter 3, verse 33. He blesseth the habitation of the just. He fears the Lord, and therefore he comes under the divine protection, even as to the roof which covers himself and his family. His home is an abode of love, a school of holy training, and a place of heavenly light. In it there is a family altar, where the name of the Lord is daily had in reverence. Therefore, the Lord blesses his habitation. It may be a humble cottage or a lordly mansion, but the Lord's blessing comes because of the character of the inhabitant and not because of the size of the dwelling. That house is most blessed in which the master and mistress are God-fearing people. But a son or daughter or even a servant may bring a blessing on a whole household. The Lord often preserves, prospers, and provides for a family for the sake of one or two in it who are just persons in His esteem, because His grace has made them so. Beloved, let us have Jesus for our constant guest, even as the sisters of Bethany had, and then we shall be blessed indeed. Let us look to it that in all things we are just, in our trade, in our judgment of others, in our treatment of neighbors, and in our own personal character. A just God cannot bless unjust transactions. exposes the roadblocks that keep us from the fullness of God, reveals our responsibility and mercy, and ultimately leads us into the very presence of God Himself. Some of the chapter titles include Following Hard After God, Restoring the Creator-Creature Relationship, and The Sacrament of Order. As you read and study Tozer's penetrating insights, you will learn the meaning of Paul's words from Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know Him. What the Bible Speak is pleased to offer complete reprints of this timeless devotional help, free of charge, for your copy of Help Speak God. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email info@faithfpc.org. South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Hingham Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of The Pursuit of God. We'll be glad to provide it. Continuing his series in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns continues with the theme of the gospel, the foundation, and the fullness of the Christian life. The text is verses 11 and 12 of chapter 1, where Paul emphasized that the gospel must make itself known in the lives of those who believe it. In the earlier part of the message, we saw that Paul rejoiced in the efficacy of the gospel, in the experience of the merits of Christ, and in the effects of the gospel in the lives of the Roman Christians. He testified that the gospel was the core of his existence, the substance of his preaching, his praying, and his living. Now the apostle is describing the task God had laid upon him as Christ's servant. It was to lead men and women to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. For Paul, evangelism is the first task of the church. Now, with the continuation of this message, the gospel, the foundation, and the fullness of the Christian life, here is Dr. Cairns.
In the work of God, it is easy to be overcome with the detail and at times the drudgery. Paul says that much study is a weariness to the flesh. It is easy to be overcome by the toil, by the trouble, by the problems, by the burdens that God's people face and they bring to the pastor's office, quite rightly. It is easy to be weighed down with a ton weight of all these things and to lose that overwhelming sense, this is the grace of God. I could be out serving Satan tonight. I indeed, had it not been for the grace of God, I would already have been in hell tonight. And I ought never to forget that. Paul says this is grace. This is a gift of God. This is a privilege beyond definition, description, or conception, that God would take me, the chief of sinners, and give me the privilege of preaching the good news of the gospel. He says, as he did that, he gave me especially the privilege of being a minister to the Gentiles. To go to the offscouring of all flesh, to the heathen, to go to the utterly ungodly, the unclean and the defiled, the heathen, and tell them of Jesus the mighty to save. That's the gift that God has given to me. And he did it. Later in that 15th chapter, verse 19, he speaks of his ministry. He says, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum, I have fully the gospel of Christ. And in verse 29, he says, and I'm sure that when I come to you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. This is what was filling Paul's heart as he expresses this great desire to visit Rome. It is the burden of the evangelist. It was something that was coming out of a vision of lost souls and the opportunity of seeing them saved. That was burning in Paul's heart. He wanted to do a work for God there. Later on, as we'll see when we get a little further, verse 13, he wanted to have fruit in Rome, even as among other Gentiles. Fruit. He longed to go there to see sinners saved. I've seen it everywhere else, he says. I want to see it in Rome. Oh, I would to God tonight that I could communicate to you and I could communicate to my own heart something of that mighty passion that filled the heart of Paul the Apostle. He lived for Christ. And therefore he lived to see sinners saved. And he didn't go after sinners just because they were poor, wretched, miserable, pitiable sinners. If that's the burden you have that leads you to go after sinners, you'll soon lose your burden. For when you get to those people face to face, you'll find that they are all that, but they are also most obnoxious, stubborn, rebellious, willfully wicked, and they are haters of God and of all who would speak to them of the things of God. If you would go after sinners, it has got to be not that they deserve it, but that Christ deserves it. If you're going to go out after the lost, it's got to be because the gospel itself has so emblazoned its message in your heart. You have become so utterly, totally, completely captivated by the thought, this is a glorious message. This is a powerful message. This is a divine message. This is a message that must be got out. You've got to be so captivated with that, that you'll go out and tell it. Oh, Paul had a burden to evangelize. Such a burden. The church that loses the vision of evangelism has lost its reason to exist. I say that again. I know the church is for the fellowship of God's people. I know it is a stronghold of comfort, of mutual support in the things of God in the face of a world's opposition. Yes, that is all true. But the church that has lost the burden to evangelize will undoubtedly die the death. It's why you have so many dead Calvinistic churches. And I say that as a Calvinist. It's why you have so many dead fundamental churches. And I say that as a fundamentalist. You see, it's not the ist and the ism that will give the church its fire. It's the gospel. It's the gospel. Let's look at ourselves. Have we become comfortable? Have we settled upon our lees? Are we just happy enough to come to God's house two or three times a week and say we have been fed well from the things of God? We've enjoyed the fellowship. Think of those words of the Lord Jesus we looked at in passing, really, last Sabbath morning. Lift up your eyes and look on the fields. Lift up your eyes and look at the great cities of America. Will those cities be damned as Tyre and Sidon? Will they be wiped off the face of the earth and swept into hell as an everlasting testimony to their own wickedness and to the just judgment of a holy God? Will we sit back at ease in Zion without a vision, without a burden, without an attempt to reach them? Where are the young men in this church who will rise up and say, "Oh God, give me the privilege of being an evangelist. Give me the privilege of being a soul winner. Put fire in my heart. Put thunder in my very being that I will have to go and tell of Jesus Christ. I must evangelize. I must seek souls for Christ." You start where you are. If you wait until you get into a pulpit to try to win souls, you'll never win them. If you're not a witness for Christ in your own home, if you're not a witness for Christ in your place of business, if you're not a witness for Christ among the people among whom you move day by day, then you'll never be a witness anywhere else. Men and women, the task that Paul had was first evangelism. This is God's gift. You look across this congregation. I don't want to labor the point, but to be quite honest, I'm loath to leave it. You look across this congregation. So many still in the prime of life. Northern Ireland, we have a saying about people who are very intelligent. They have brains to burn. Brains coming out of your ears. And I don't say that in any way facetiously. I mean, across this congregation, we have represented a wealth of God-given ability. You know, all the talent in the world is not worth that much unless it is dedicated to Jesus Christ, governed by the gospel. I have seen people of very little talent do great things for God, extraordinary things for God, while those of great talent have been backsliding. I've often told you, the young man who was one of my best friends growing up, trophy of grace, an absolute trophy of grace, in the sovereignty of God, he was born with very little brain power.
I'm not being mean. He had very little brain power. He could hardly have worked his way out of grade school. In fact, I doubt that he could really have worked his way out of grade school. To hear him read, to hear a child in a man's body stumbling over words, but to hear him pray. Now, it wasn't a child. It was a child of God, crying to God, give me power. To see him go out in the simplicity of what he knew of Jesus Christ and meet with sinners and tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save, and reach out and win them when the rest of us were looking on. Remember what Robert Murray McShane, scholar and saint, had to say. It is not great talent that God blesses so much as great likeness to Christ. Oh, that we would catch the burden for evangelism. Because all that I have said is to say God can use anybody who is dedicated to him. But God has not brought the church forward through stupid people. Oh, he can use those kind of people. I'm very glad he can. If he didn't, it would be a hard job for me. But God does not. Paul was humanly a genius. He was the greatest of the apostles. Martin Luther was a genius. John Calvin was a genius. John Owen was a genius. Jonathan Edwards was a genius. McShane was a genius. The Bonner brothers were geniuses. Spurgeon was a genius. There is no premium on dullness or dumbness. What I'm saying to you tonight is, if God has blessed you with brains and with talent, oh, get on your knees before God and realize that the God who says he deprived the ostrich of basic common sense is the same God who has given you what you have. And he has given you it that you may put it on the altar for Christ. Evangelism in all its forms. Giving out the gospel, leaving a gospel tract, giving a word of testimony, inviting a sinner to the gospel meeting, going to say, don't say, I'll see you there, I'll bring you there. Opening up your home to bring sinners in, using your own board, your own table, to make it a place of evangelism. Whatever God puts upon your heart. But this is the thing. Paul looked out at the city and he said, I have got to win it for Christ. That's the first task of the church of Jesus Christ. Whatever else we do, if we lose out in evangelism, we have lost our reason to exist. Jesus said, go, preach the gospel.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.